This meditation instruction is called Basic Shamatha Meditation, which means peaceful abiding. So just to review, there are three parts to the instruction. One has to do with body, one has to do with breath, and the third has to do with working with your mind. In terms of body, there are actually 6 points of posture. So as we've said, these chairs are not ideal, but at home you'll have a good seat, either a chair or a cushion on the floor that's firm. So that's actually the first point of posture, is your seat, finding the right seat. The second point of posture has to do with the legs. So in a chair, your feet could be planted just firmly on the ground. And if you have a chair at home where you're a little high, you can put something under your feet to raise them up. So your feet should be planted on something. And if you're sitting on a cushion, then your knees could be crossed gently under you. And you want to be sure to be high enough so that your hip bones are higher than your knees. Your knees should always be lower than your hip bones. So the second part of posture is legs. The third has to do with your back, and your back should be straight and upright. So in a chair, if you don't lean back, that's best, if your back is strong enough. Depends on your chair, maybe. And if you're on the floor, then you work with finding that point where you feel grounded and upright, allowing there to be natural curves in your spine. So nothing is particularly exaggerated or heightened in any way. You find a spot where you feel actually centered. Also, I didn't mention this last time, I think, but the idea is to have your chin tucked in so that you have a natural length in the back of your spine. So that helps with your general alignment. As I said before, thinking about almost a string that's suspending you, where your vertebrae are all stacked like gold coins. So there's the natural alignment of your body. So the third point is back. The fourth point is arms. And your arms can just rest naturally on your thighs. If you're sitting on the cushion on the floor, you can use the technique of letting your arms drop, and the upper arm should be aligned with your torso, and then pivot from your elbow and see where your hands go. It doesn't seem to matter all that much in the chair, because it just seems like for me there's only one place to put them. But you'll see on the cushion on the floor, if you use that, you might have to work with the arms a little bit to get a comfortable spot. The fifth point of the instruction of posture has to do with the mouth. And the mouth can be slightly opened, and that allows there to be some relaxation in the jaw. And you can either just let your tongue rest naturally, or the other option is to place the tip of your tongue at the back upper part of your front teeth, your two front teeth. So you can experiment with that and see what works best. The main point is that your jaw is relaxed and you don't feel tension in that part of your body. So the sixth point of body has to do with the eyes. And in this technique that's taught by Sogyal Rinpoche, the eyes are open. But as we said last time, you could experiment with that. If you have another practice you do and you're used to closing your eyes, you could continue that or try to have them open. In any case, the way he instructs, your eyes would be open and you could have your eyes about 4 to 6 feet in front with the eyes lowered, sort of half open. No hard looking at anything, but very soft focus. So it's a lowered gaze with a soft focus. Or there's another option, which is that you could just look straight out and have your eyes open and just, again, you're not looking at anything, but you're just relaxing into the open space. So those are the 6 points of posture: your seat, your legs, your back, your arms, the mouth, and the eyes. So once you have your seat and you feel grounded, you can begin to work with the meditation technique of using the breath as your object of meditation. And it's important that you just know that you're working with your natural breath. You're not trying to take a long breath in or long breath out or change the flow of your breathing in any way. So the breath just comes in and the breath goes out. And this technique particularly emphasizes noticing, paying attention to the out-breath. So it's as if your attention is on the out-breath, and as you ride that out-breath out, there's a sense of dissolve at the end of the out-breath. And just let go into that open space. That's the gap, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that as we read through this book. So again, with the breath, you're just working with placing your intention on the breath. It's not so much concentrating either, but it's about becoming one with the breath. And in a way, when you work with the rhythm of your breathing, there is a natural sense of just becoming one with the breath. The third part of the technique has to do with working with your mind. So when you notice your thinking, then you simply return to the breath. You can say thinking and then come back, or you can just return when you notice. You can drop the step of saying thinking, you can just come right back. Another way to work with it, or another way to think of it, is when that thought arises, it can be just like a bubble. And just like when you touch a bubble with your finger, it just pops, just dissolves instantly. In that way, you can think about touching your thoughts very lightly and just letting them dissolve and then come right back to the breath. So what's important to know about working with the mind is that there's no judgment here. So even if you're intending to sit for 10 minutes and your bell goes off and you never remembered once to come back to your breath, that's okay. So it's important to know there's no judgment. You just make the effort, and you just, every time you do it, it's a fresh start. So we'll now sit together for a few minutes. So if anyone has any questions, if you've been working with this for the last week or anything's come up, we could just talk together for a few minutes. Or any questions about the technique?
Tell me how long that was. Excuse me.
I think it was only, it was about 3 minutes. It wasn't very long.
Okay.
I made it short because it felt, but at home, it, you know, 10 minutes would be good. I don't know. Have people had a chance to practice a little bit?
I practice some awareness. I'm the kind of person who is multitasking.
Yeah.
I have worked with some meditation in the past, John Kabat-Zinn, more of a relaxation response, but it included meditation. And one of the things that I remember was so difficult was to be very aware and to eat great.
Right.
So what I'm doing in the morning is having breakfast instead of, you know, I'm very aware of what I'm eating and how it tastes, any sounds I might hear, the birds, and a little bit of meditation I've done later in the day has made me feel very relaxed.
I remember someone said something about washing the dishes last time.
Yeah,
was that
yeah.
I found that so helpful. So I just decided I'd have a week of meditation and action every time I did the dishes. And it was very interesting to practice that way because it's really a perfect way to practice because there you are. It's just you and the sponge and the dish and whatever. And it was really amazing to notice how easy it was to go off and hard to come back. But I was going to suggest actually for people to pick one thing that they do on a regular basis and make that for the week their meditation and action. So it could be just brushing your teeth, you know, how automatic that whole process is from beginning to end. It could actually be your awareness practice as you're standing there and as you reach for your toothbrush, as you put water on your toothbrush, your toothpaste, the whole thing, and see if you can be present for the whole experience from the beginning to the end. I think it's a very good way to practice, actually. So just pick something, you know, then work with that and see what that's like for you. And having the more formal meditation period is also very helpful because it's not so directed towards anything and you're not looking for an outcome. And I know that also with the Jon Kabat-Zinn program too. You know, they actually never used the word relaxation when they talked at all in the instructions because they didn't want people to feel they had to relax and it was for relaxation, and if they couldn't relax, they were doing it wrong. So I think really just being with the meditation technique and trying it and just coming back to the present moment, just coming back, seeing what that is for you. And I think the combination of the sitting practice on a daily basis and then some kind of active mindfulness awareness practice in your daily life is really, I think those two are very complementary and can really be helpful.
Outside in the yard, it was really easy just to get totally involved in standing and just looking at the ground. Like, I think I looked at the ground for about a minute and a half before I did anything, and it was just really, it was peaceful and it was very calming. I was felt the difference, you know, instead of just getting all my stuff, getting down on the ground and starting to pull, I took some time to look at a particular space. That was nice. The weather wasn't conducive to doing that.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's interesting when you practice meditation, you do sometimes have those moments of just seeing things in a different way. And you're an artist too, so it's interesting. You can sometimes just catch yourself. You can stop and really see what's in front of you.
Well, okay. So then today I was looking at 4 to 6 feet in front of me, And what happened with my eyes, and I don't know if this happens with other people, is that the patterns on the floor started to shift. And so I said, okay, so I blinked. I thought, no, this is going to be too distracting for me because all I'll start doing is playing with patterns. So it happened 2 or 3 times, and I don't know if that's someplace where I should just leave it and see what happens, or should I try and just get back onto that one point I was looking at. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, so when you say one point, were you looking at one point?
I was just focusing, you know, that dark white strip, I was just focusing in that area. That was my point.
Okay, well, if you just relax your gaze and don't focus on anything, then I think it might not be as, if you just, because you're not really focusing on anything or looking at anything. You're just resting your eyes. So it's easier to do it on a plain surface, like a hardwood floor. A busy rug is very difficult because it sort of energizes your eyes anyway.
So
your eyes get energized, I think, if you're focusing on something. So just relax your gaze, and you can shift your gaze. You can bring your eyes in a little or out, but soft and not really staring at anything.
Okay.
That might help.
Even with 3 minutes, I feel like I had a little nap. And what that tells me is just how exhausting the chatter in my head is.
Yeah.
You know, just 3 minutes of kind of getting out of that chatter, and I feel like I've had a nap.
Mm-hmm.
So, I do spend 5 minutes a day in a posture.
In a yoga posture?
Well, it's Sleeping Tiger. Your legs are up and your hands are up.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a mind control. And I don't feel necessarily rested after that, but I feel grounded,
mm-hmm.
like in my core or something. I don't know what the words are.
Mm-hmm. Do you work with a meditation technique with your mind when you're doing that?
Just focusing on my second chakra. Keep coming back to my second chakra, uh-huh. my second chakra.
So when your mind wanders, you come back.
Mm-hmm. I'm just... Yeah. Playing with that for 21 days.
Okay. I
started a couple weeks ago.
Good.
Why did you choose 21 days?
I don't know. It's when you set a goal, I think the minimum for doing something is 21 days. So
okay.
I let a Aging Successfully workshop and the follow-up, we all chose goals that we are going to stick to for 21 days. And we chose goals that were not like, oh my gosh, I'm trying to change my life goals.
Right.
Which, yeah, something, because really just the muscle or the neurological connection that says I can do something for 21 days needs to grow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mentioned last week that I also had a similar kind of experience with a book that I was reading called The Magic Lamp. Mm-hmm. And what they said was in the book was that you needed to have that goal for 30 days, and then it was sustainable. It's a habit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I asked about the 21, because that's...
I think in reality, you have to do it for 3,000 days.
That's my experience.
Your whole life.
Well, it's, yeah.
You have to just go back and start over.
Oh, that's
right.
That's the book said.
You break it for one day.
Yeah, that's
right.
Wow.
Thank you.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you, Emily.
You're very welcome. That will be online. And there's some papers over here with this information and also a few other things. I didn't make copies enough for everybody for some of the things, but this one-page sheet is here with information, too.